Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and always it's an honor and a privilege that God has granted me to be able to go to his people as we explore the Word of God together. We have had a busy week, and we have turmoil on every side. But you know, God is able, and God is faithful. And we have to hold on to the confession of our faith. And we have to allow God's will to be done. You know, God have a master plan, and he will work all things out together for our good. But you have to trust him. I'm going to talk tonight on one of the prophets, because, you know, we study in the book of prophets, and tonight is coming from the prophet Zephaniah. You know, we have only three chapters left. Three books, really, left in the Old Testament. And God has allowed us to touch on his word from Genesis and tonight to Zephaniah. And we only have Hagar, Zechariah, and Malachi left. That is truly a blessing. And I want to thank each and every one of you that has been on this journey, exploring the word of God, the Old Testament. Tonight, like I said, we in Zephaniah, we're going to be exploring the first chapter. The title of the lesson is God is a Jealous God. You know how it feel, you know, jealousy feel when someone is doing something or loving on someone more than they love on you. You know, children become jealous the way their parents treat other siblings. You're jealous in a marriage or a relationship when it seems that your partner is giving more attention to someone else. But God wants you to know tonight that he's also a jealous God, and we have to be mindful of that in the way that we treat him, the way that we handle him. So that's coming on tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and play a song. When the song is over, we'll come back and go to the throne of grace, and then we will explore the word of God together. If anyone would like to pray, you know, you could press the one button, and you'll be able to pray through the airwaves. But the song that I chose tonight, I think is very appropriate because of all of the things that are going on around us. We're living in trying times. But God is faithful. But the title of the song is We Come This Far by Faith. So I'm going to play this song, and once I come back, we're going to go into the Word of God. Listen to the song, be blessed, and come back ready to hear what God had to say to his people.
And you.
Yes, all of us have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting his holy word. Well, I see that someone has pressed the one button, and I would imagine they want to open us up with prayer. Caller, your number is 504-715. Your mic is open, and you could come any way you want to. Hello, caller. Caller 504-715-4676. I don't know if she's trying to speak.
Yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Hello? Yeah, we could hear you now.
Okay.
We could hear you.
All righty. I accidentally hit the mute button.
Okay.
I was singing along with the
people. I was too.
But I like if they don't sing the voice. You know, for believers, don't be discouraged when troubles get in your life, because he'll bear your burdens and move all misery and strife. That's why we come this far by faith. God, we thank you, Lord God, for this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. God, you said in your word that with all thy getting, get understanding, as we break bread tonight with Sister Diane, God, enlighten our understanding. Increase us all the more, Lord, because you're worthy to be praised no matter what we go through. You still, God, and besides you, there is no other, and you're worthy, oh God. You're worthy because you saved us and delivered us and set us free. You set captivity captive free, and we give you glory, Lord. We give you the honor. We give you the praise, Lord. We just thank you what you have done in our lives, for what you're going to do in our lives, and what you continue to do. We bless the name of Jesus this evening, and we give you praise, we give you the honor, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, and God be glorified. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I
want to
thank you, Minister Elyria Mackey from Bootville, for taking the time to share and bring us all to the throne of grace. I really thank you for that. And if you don't mind, you could pray at the end of the program if you're still on the line. So we'll see you back then. But again, I say thank you.
You're
for
welcome.
That beautiful. When we look at our lesson tonight, because other callers have called in, we're in the book of Zephaniah. We know that Zephaniah is a minor prophet that God used and put 17 writings of prophecy in the Bible. Five of the prophecies, or some people say four, was considered to be major, and 12 of them was supposed to be are minor. And it's not because of the status of one man against another, but it's how much writing was included in the word of God that made it either major or minor. You know, plenty of times we don't have a lot of writings about the prophet's life or where they come from or, you know, sometime what they did, sometime we do. But I would imagine that that is done that way so we won't put all of our emphasis on the messenger, but focus our interest on the message. You see, Zephaniah was called by God and used by God, and Zephaniah answered the call. We know that because his writing is in the book. And we have to hear what God said to Zephaniah, because you know the word of God, no matter who he was talking to or who he was talking about, there's still information in there that we could hold on to get a more understanding of who God is and how he works. You know, we will never understand fully the mind of God, but he allows us to know him through his word. And we know that in the Old Testament, God dwelt among the people. In the New Testament, in which we live, God dwells inside of his people. So we're going to go ahead with the first chapter of Zephaniah, and we're going to look and see what God told Zephaniah to tell the people. And if you see anything in there that could identify with you, then you hold on to it. If it's something they were doing that caused them to go in judgment, then you don't do it. Because if you do, you will have judgment on you as well. God is no respecter person. And when you see people in the Bible who begin to do what is right and God blessings, you know, shower them, well, do those things because the blessings will shower on you as well. God is allowing us to see these men and women of God in the Bible to be an example to help us to learn what is expected of us from God. So when we look at the first chapter of Zephaniah, I'm going to read the first verse right now, and we're going to look at it for a little while. They say the word of the Lord, and I hope all of you have your Bibles, and I pray that you read the book of Zephaniah. It was only three chapters. The word said, the word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amara, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. Now, when you look at that, you might have said, well, how could Zephaniah be the son of Cush and Gedaliah and Amara and Hezekiah and all of these people? You see, when Zephaniah is listed as the son of these men, they were not his father, even relatives, but the forefathers of the prophets that had went before him. You see, the names seem also mentioned for the sake of their meaning. You see, at least it is remarkable how the names of God appear in most of these names listed. You know, in the Old Testament, you had a name that meant something, that stood for who you were, and names was chosen. And many times, name was given by God, and he told people what to name their children because of what they would grow up and do and become. You see, when you look at this thing, you see, first of all, Zephaniah name mean whom the Lord hid. And Gedaliah is whom the Lord made great. Amaris, who the Lord promised. And Hezekiah, whom the Lord strengthened. So when Zephaniah mentioned these people and said he was the son of them, all of them had righteous names, and all of them had the word Lord in their name, in the meaning of their name. You see, Zephaniah's message was a message of judgment and encouragement, contained three major doctrines. One, God is sovereign over all nations, not just the chosen nations, but all the nations of the world. In other words, he's in charge of the whole world. Number two, the wicked will be punished and the righteous will be vindicated on the day of judgment. And three, God blesses those who repent and trust him. You know, we've been looking at the prophets for so many weeks, and we see that even though God always came, not always, but he came with judgment and wrath against the people for their sins, While we were still in the same book, it came with encouragement and hope for the people. You see, God had made a promise to Abraham. And God said his seeds will be forever. And if God promised it, it will happen. Even though he had to chastise them, he also delivered them. He still saved them. And he set them apart for his glory. But it always appeared that even when they got it right, it wouldn't be very long before they start doing it wrong again. God has provided everything that all of us will ever need to live a righteous life. God didn't set us up in a system, told us to believe his son, and thought that we could do everything right. That's why the Bible said everyone falls short of the glory of God. God knew that we, in and of ourselves, could not become perfect because there's only one perfect one, and his name is Jesus Christ. But God gave us help. God gave us a way to be set free. And God has given us what we need to obey and love him. You see, Zephaniah lived during one of the worst times in the history of Judah. Now, you see, we're talking about Judah, and you know they had the other nation. Well, when the nations was divided, they had Judah and they had Israel. Judah is the nation that only two of the 12 disciples, are in. You see, but we're talking about the worst time for the history of Judah. And really, at this time, Israel had already been in captivity. They were already under siege. And you see, like last week and the week before that, they were saying that God was talking to Israel, but Judah time was coming. But right now is Judah, and they were under the reign of an evil king named Manasseh, which was an evil king, and he was also the grandfather of Josiah. And you see in the scripture it talks about Josiah, you see. So Josiah was the grandson of Manasseh, which was the worst king. The two worstest kings, and I have to say worstest, because they was the worst of the worst kings in Judah, was Josiah's father and his grandfather. But you see, Josiah, well, fortunate for Judah, it was not long before Josiah would begin his glorious reign, and it was during the revival that took place during this period that Zephaniah began to prophesy. You see, the kings, his father and his grandfather had died, and Josiah has now came, and Josiah, even though he wasn't a Jew or Israelite, he began to believe, and he was a godly man. You see, Josiah was quick to condemn the idolatry worship of the Canaanites and Assyrians, and he predicted doom for the heathen nation that surrounded Judah, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Amorites, the Ethiopians, the Assyrians. See, in this message from Zephaniah, he's talking in the second chapter, you'll see, he's talking about not just destroying Judah, but God was going to come and destroy all the surrounding nations. And there's one scripture in this book that even talks about, and I think it's in the first, and we're going to get to it, all the land on the earth. You see what happened? There was Josiah was having the temple built back because it had been destroyed. You know, several times they destroyed the temple, took all the artifacts, and they was doing this thing. But they was rebuilding the temple, and they found the lost scrolls of the law. you know, the word of God was on scrolls. And the books had been lost, and they found them while they was doing this renovation. And the priest got it, and he read it to Josiah. And when Josiah heard it, he was astounded. He began to believe, and he went to work for God. So when Zephaniah, you know, had been under the evil king, and now he has Josiah, I'm sure he felt comfort and knew God had got the evil out the way. So Zephaniah began to prophesy. He also foretold the destruction of Jerusalem. And then he also lets us know in the book the glorious the glorious rebuilding and the glorious restoration that was going to take place. Then we go to verse 2. It says, I will utterly consume all things from off the land. There it is. I was almost sure it was in there. I will utterly consume all things. No, this is talking about everything on the land, but I think it's going to be in there. Off the land, say the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heavens and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land. Now this is thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah telling this is God say. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. Nah, you know, it's not me. It's not me, not Jeremiah. I'm sorry. It's not me, Zephaniah. But it is thus saith the Lord. And verse 4 say, I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnants of Baal. Y'all know Baal was the idol god that, you know, the Canaanites worship, and they worship him dearly. You know, he said he's going to cut off the remnants of Baal from this place in the name of the Sherons, which were the priests, and then and them that worship the hosts of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Melchim. Yeah, they swear by the Lord, but they also swear by Melchim. And them that are turned back from God, and those that have never sought the Lord or inquired for him. Now, right here, God is speaking about six groups of displeasement. And he singled them out for judgment in verses 2 through 6. First, he was talking about Baal, the idol god of the Canaanites. He's going to take care of them. Second, he will remove all the altars or places of worship dedicated to Baal, which still remain in place in Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get rid of the gods, but I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to move all of the altars and the places they worship and dedicated to him. He said, I'm going to take care of that. And then he said, number 3, he said, Sherims, that was in a lesson. These were the idolatrous priests, a Levitical priest who had become disqualified for service. You see, God had a priesthood. The Levites became the priests. And then their relatives, you know, they might have not been the high priest, or they could go in the temple, but they became Levitical priests. But they had become disqualified for service because they began to put on black garments. Black garments. and they departed while the others put on white garments and went in to minister. He said, I'm going to take care of them too. That's the Sherarims, C-H-E-M-A-R-I-M-S. That's in the verses. Number four, he said, and those who worship on the rooftop. See, these was people that worship on the rooftop, probably to have a clearer view of the magnificent expanse of the sky. So you see, there was people that worshiped the moon, the stars, and they had even, say, they had identified a queen of heaven. You see, they began to worship these things instead of God, who had ordained and created them. How could you worship a thing and not worship the creator that created the thing? Fifth, the Malshins were those who mixed God with other things, people, and places. You see, they divided heart and service. That sweared by the Lord, sweared by their loyal allegiance to him. They swear by God. Even while they doing it, they do acts which deny it. They saying it with their mouth, and they doing something else. Probably their hands and their head and their appearance and everything else. And then they swear by Malshin, who was their king. You see, so they was putting God in a category with their king, and they thought it was all right to do it. God said, I'm going to take care of them too, because there's no other king besides me. And I know they have a king, and God told us to obey the laws of the land. But he told you never to let anything that man has created get in your way of serving him and putting him first. And six, he said, I'm going to take care of the ones who turn their back against me, and the ones who never sought me. And if we look at verse 7, it says, hold thy peace. God said, that's the ones I'm going to take care of. He said, now let's get it right. I'm coming with judgment. And I have listed these six things that I have a problem with, and I'm going to handle each one of them. I'm going to take care of Baal. I'm going to take care of the bad priests. I'm going to take care of those who never accepted me. I'm going to take care of those who put someone before me. Come on now, y'all. And y'all know idols is not just the handmade idols that they made in that day, like Baal. They made the idol. You know, one time they had idols that they worshiped, and they had like a mudslide, and the idol was made out of mud, and eventually it was washed away. And they was all right with that, because they went and got some more mud and made some more. That's going to show you how weak man is. But God said, I'm going to take care of the idols and everything that represent them. But then he come with verse 7. He said, let me tell you, verse 7 read, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He had bid his guests. And 8 say, and it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. God is saying, let me tell you something. Y'all did everything y'all thought y'all was big and bad enough to do. Y'all handle me any kind of way you want. You put me with your king, on a level with your king. You're going to Baal mode and you're coming to me. You're turning your back. Some of y'all ain't sought me. He said, but let me just tell you, hold thy peace in my presence when I come forth and the appear and appear in the way of my judgment. Do not dispute the point with them, Zephaniah, you see, or pretend to often reason against his proceedings, or in order to disprove the justice of them. He's telling, now when he comes, y'all done had it y'all way, now he's going to have it his way. And he's saying, hold your peace, just take it, because he's just and he's fair. You've been told over and over and over again that God is a jealous God, and yet you decide to treat him any kind of way. He's coming, and when he do, hold your peace. He even told him, he said, look, just stand in awe and reverence of him as he do what he's going to do. They said, just stand in reverence of him, because you see, he's God, omniscient and omnipotent. He's holy, just, and true. He said, humble yourself under his mighty hand. Be still and know that he is God. And let not one murmuring or complaining word out of your mouth, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. Now, you see, when they talked about that sacrifice, we know that Jesus is a sacrifice, but what Jesus, God was telling him, he has prepared a sacrifice, and he was talking about them, the Jews, the Israelites. He was going to let them be sacrificed when he allowed another nation to come in and place them in captivity. That's a sacrifice. He said in the scripture, and it was in verse 7, they say, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, and he bid his guests. You see, the sacrifice was the people, the Jews, who had fallen a victim of his vengeance, and a sacrifice for his justice. You see, God uses anything and everything which is a part of his master plan and his will. You know, everything that ever happened to us, God either allowed it or orchestrated. Now, you see, he orchestrated this because you remember when he used Nebuchadnezzar to bring them in captivity. He allowed Nebuchadnezzar to bring them in captivity in Babylonians, and then they had the king of Assyrians that he allowed to go in and take them. He allowed them to be a sacrifice. And the Babylonians, in this case, was his guest. Like he allowed them in to do it. But you know, there's always restoration. He used them to atone in some measure for the people to recognize their sins. Thus, they had offered sacrifices to idols and neglected the sacrifices of the Lord, and especially the great sacrifice of Christ. And his guests was the Babylonians that he would allow to punish them. And you see, when the last part of this, in verse 8, when they say, and such are clothed in strange apparel, what he was talking about then, them, plenty of the elite in the place, and the worshipers of these gods, and those who had decided, the Israelites that had decided to do a lot of the evil things that the other nations was doing. They began to dress like them. They began to look like them. They began to wear things that was necessary to present themselves before the idol gods. He said, I'm going to take care of them too. He said, I'm going to take care of princes and the kings and the king's children. He said, and all those who dressed in strange apparel. See, he was saying, you know, you prance yourself around different believers that may be trying to do it right. And here you come, you know, supposed to be somebody that know better. And you can make them go astray. That's just like us as Christians with some of the things that we do that we shouldn't do. And, you know, you might have a babe in Christ that's trying to make it through. And if they see us do certain things, they say, well, they think it's all right for them to do it. God said, I'm going to take care of them too, wearing them clothes of strange apparel. If we get to verse 9, they say, in the same day also I will punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. In verse 10, and it shall come to pass in that day, say the Lord, that there shall be a noise of a crowd from the fish gate and an hollowing from the second and a great crashing from the hills. 11, hollow ye inhabitants of Machis, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. What he was saying, those who leap on the threshold were those who went into the homes of the poor, homes of the oppressed, homes of probably widowing, and robbed them. They took their possessions to fill their master's house. That's why he said you leap on a threshold. You know, the threshold is the entrance to a building. It's the threshold is the bottom of a floor when you open a floor. He said those who did that, you're going on a threshold of all these people's houses. That's what's happening when people come around and rob us. After we done worked for what we wanted to do, what they want to do. He said, I'm going to take care of them. He's saying the fish gate, today it is known, it's still there, and it is known as the Damascus gate. And that was the opening to the city. He said, and the second quarter was the district within the walls. So you see they had a gate, and then they had a portion within the walls. And the mass gate was the merchants. They was the Canaanites that was there. And they was handling business all the time. But you could just imagine that they were doing unfair trading, unfair weighing, unfair collecting. They was doing all of those things. But God said that I'm going to take care of that too. See, God is telling her, I'm going to put all of these things in order. And he lists all of the things he was going to take care of. This should let you know God is not asleep. Nothing that is going on now in the world we live in can take God by surprise. He know what our leaders are doing and not doing. Come on now. He know how black people as a whole is being treated. He know the plan to make America great is to get it back where only one group of people can achieve and one group of people can only have rights. You see, God knows these things. And, you know, we come this far by faith, and we just have to hold on. When we look at this was going on, you know, last week, Houston was almost destroyed by water. The people weren't asked to evacuate, so they didn't go, and they had to be saved off the rooftops and come out of the windows. you know, and now they got to try to rebuild a home. And it's not even a good week, and we see this very strong hurricane. And it's headed, well, it already done did some destruction. You know, before I got on the program, I saw some of these little places where it hit, and it just looks like everything is flat to the ground. And those people do not have, you know, even though the United States and our system of government ain't what it's supposed to be, but there's things like such things as aid, and there's such things as FEMA, and there's some such things as Red Cross, and there's such things as United Way, and then we got the athletes that have money to pump in, and, you know, and on and on and on and on and on. But these people don't have all of that. But if you look at it, there have been in many storms, and through the grace of God and Him doing favor and working it out together for their good, they get back on track. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But these are trying times. And I don't know about you, but I feel overwhelmed just listening to it and looking at it. Because we have to look at it to see if it's coming our way. And then it appears today that God is going to spare us one more time. If you don't have anything else to thank Him for, you should be thanking Him for that. God didn't have to do it, but He did. And it's not that we pray that it don't come to us and go to them. But we don't want it for us. But we pray that wherever it go, that God can work it out for their good. That God won't allow those weapons that are formed against them profit. He didn't say they're not going to come. He said, but they're not going to profit. You got to believe it. And if God allowed the waters to hit there in His master plan, as you had seen in all of these books of prophecy, there is hope, encouragement, and restoration. You know, they have Christians in Texas. They have Christians in Florida. They had Christians on those islands. But God didn't promise a rose garden. And just because we love the Lord don't mean we're not going to go through. But it's never what you go through. It's who you decide to go through it with. And if I read verse 12, and they say, it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their sleeves, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will He do evil. You know, so many people are indifferent about God. But God is a jealous God. Your sin's going to catch up with you, and there's consequences for your action. And 13 says, therefore their God shall become a booty. Well, like loot, booty, B-O-O-T-Y. And their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses. Come on, watch this. But not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. What he's saying, nobody's going to escape. And he only used the phrase, you know how they say you're going to look for me with a flashlight in the daytime? Y'all remember when they say a man looking for a woman? But he said he's going to search for them with a candle. He was letting them know nobody is going to escape the punishment of God. and the settle of the lees, L-E-E's. You see, these was a term that was referring to the thickened crust which form on the vine when it is left undisturbed for a long period of time. The prophet described the people indifference and slothfulness towards God. You see, when he said, y'all be with y'all leaves, in other words, they had let their vines grow up. You know how people have a lot of trees and greenery in front of their house so you can't see them? That's what they was doing. They was letting their leaves grow, you know, and then they were slothful and indifferent towards God. Their indifference led them to regard God as morally indifferent. You see, these are people who have given up on God. They are so complacent that they do not believe good or evil of God. How many times people say, oh, God ain't gonna let nobody go to hell. Oh, everybody's gonna be saved. Oh, I could just do it any kind of way I want and God is all right. Just because he ain't chastised you, it don't mean that he's all right with you. You know, God has a manual for daily instructions for daily living. It should be our moral compass. And anything against that is not of God. And I want to tell you tonight, we, just as well as these people in that day, are not afforded the privilege to make it up as we go along. And what I hear so much is, I believe that. It's not about what you believe, it's what the Word of God says. You know, you can't take the Word of God and make it fit your agenda. You can't take the Word of God and turn it around to say what you want to say. You know, there's a lot of interpretations, different interpretations of the Word of God, but the Word of God is true. And if you study and search long enough, not everything will be revealed to you, but enough for you to get it right. You see, these were people who had no mindset on God at all. They let their leaves grow around them, and they thought that they could hide from God. But you can't hide from God. All they had will be taken away. You know, God tell him, he said, let me tell you something. You're going to build a house, but it will be pulled down. And you won't get to live in it. And some of us is living in a house, but we sure not happy. How many people have big, fine homes, and they're not happy? The bigger the house don't make you the happiest of all. But God told them, y'all going to build houses, and you ain't going to be able to live in them. He said, and you're going to make wine, attempt to make wine, and you won't get to drink it. He said, no, he said, therefore, this is 13, therefore thy goods shall become a booty, and their houses of desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards with grapes, and they use them to make wine, but not drink them thereof. He said, y'all going to plant the vineyards full. The vines planted by them bring forth grapes, and those grapes are pressed to make wine. They should fall into the hands of the enemies. That they're going to fall in the hands of the enemy who would drink it and not them themselves. God say judgment is coming. And if we look at verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastened greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty men shall cry bitterly. 15, the day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness, and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced city and against the high tower. You know, in Jerusalem, when I went to Jerusalem some years ago, there were high fences around everything. He said, let me tell you, all that's gonna go away. The great day of the Lord could easily be a time of judgment God brought upon Judah by the Babylonians. When you say the day of the Lord, something is happening. It's usually dealing with judgment. It can also be the time when God brings judgment among any group of people. When judgment come on us, it's the day of the Lord. There's a great coming in our lifetime, and speaking of the second coming of Jesus, the mighty men will have no protection than anyone else in the day that God judges them. So you see, God has no respect to person. He's going to bring it all down. There ain't going to be no big eyes, no little U's. It's going to either be if you served and trusted God, if you believed in God, is what's going to get you through the gates. Not because you was the mayor or the president of the United States. None of that's going to roll. None of that's going to roll. And God say, I'm going to just take care of everything. And the day of trumpet and alarm is in accordance with God's instruction. A trumpet was fashioned for the purpose of sounding an alarm, a trumpet blow to gather the people for war. The high tower were the places where the soldier tried to ward off an attack. In this day, none of this will do any good because they can't fight God. And if you look at the last two verses, 17 and 18, it say, and I will bring distress upon man that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against God, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. Y'all know what the dung is. 18, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in a day of God's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. I told y'all God is a jealous God. For he shall make even a speedy riddance. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. He's telling you, you're walking like a blind man. That's somebody who can't see. And that was mostly speaking in a spiritual aspect. You know, people who don't know God, they're blind to many things. So he was saying they was going to walk as blind men. You know, when you keep doing wrong or keep not doing what thus said the Lord, God have a way of turning you over to a reprobate mind. And then you walking in blindness. You doing whatever seemed right in your eye. You making it up as you go. He said the silver and gold will not be able to help them in that day. Those who trust in silver and gold to save them will be disappointed. The only safety from the wrath of God is the blood of Jesus, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Jesus will deliver us from the wrath to come. Those who put their faith and trust in Jesus will be saved from the wrath of God. You see, God was talking about all of these judgment and all of the books of the prophecy. He said, I'm going to come in and I'm going to take you and I'm going to allow your daughters to be taken by the men and I'm going to allow you to do this. I'm not going to let you have no food. And the people began to eat their children and they couldn't get rid of their trash. And it's all kind of desolation, being destitute. Yes, God did allow it. But those who accept Christ as their Savior, You see, he's talking about the day of the Lord. And the final day of the Lord is spoken of in 2 Peter. Same thing about being burned by fire. You see, the earth will be destroyed by fire. God said, I'll never do it by water, but I'll do it by fire. Just as Zephaniah is warning the people in the Old Testament, Peter, our New Testament writer, is giving God instructions. You see, Peter also said in 2 Peter 3 and 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noises, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. So it will happen. But that's the final judgment. You see, everything on earth has to be burnt up so that Jesus will come and reign in the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And see, there Jesus is going to reign and everything is going to be new. And everything as we know it's got to pass away. That's why the Bible teaches us that only what we do for Christ will last, because everything else is temporal. So we have to set our sights on the things of God. And I thank God for the prophet Zephaniah, who come to remind us of what happened when we are disobedient and when God get tired of what we're doing. And when God step in, as the scripture say, hold your peace. Don't try to tell him how he should have did it or why he's doing it. Because you do what you want to do, and God can do what he want to do. You keep doing it your way and get your results. And God has his way that is already established. That's already a part of his master plan. And he's not going to change it for no one. But as the song said tonight, we come this far by faith. All I could tell the people in Houston, hold on to the confession of your faith. To the people in Florida, you gotta hold on. God is not leaving you, nor is he forsaking you. He's right there in the middle of everything that's happening. Nothing can happen and take God by surprise. So help, like last week's lesson was, help is on the way. And for all of us that's listening, no matter what we're going through in our lives, the same thing that God, the restoration he promised them, is restoration that he's doing in and through our lives day after day after day. That's why we have to say we thank him for what he's done, what he's doing right now, and thank him for his promises. But you got to know the word of God to know what the promises are. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to say anything, you could press the one button on your phone. If anyone would like to pray, if you'd like to make comments, if you need prayer, if you want to pray, you know, I tell you all the time, it is not my Bible study, it is our Bible study. It is our Bible study. And since no one want to pray and no one has anything to say, no praise reports of encouragement or encouragement, I'm going to go ahead and ask Elyria, if she's still on the line, to, Elyria, you here?
Yes.
Can you lead us out with prayer? And I have another call. Well, let me get the other caller first. I'm going to get the other caller, and if she want to pray, I'll let her pray too. And then I'll come back to you. Caller, your number is 205-795. Your mic is open.
Good evening, everyone. I'm not going to say my name, and I won't keep you long, but I have a praise report, and I'm requesting prayer. My praise report is I have a medical issue, and I've been on disability. I read that the disability was ending August 2017. I became worried I became panic and just, but I see, I'm not going to say I became all those things because I stayed with God because he stayed with me. And I received a packet in the mail and I didn't fill out the packet. So I called the agency. So if you're ready to say hallelujah, you can say it right now. Because the
hallelujah.
Agency told me, they told me that part of the disability ended on August 2017, but the God that I serve that gave me complete peace has started the second phase of the disability. The end date for the new disability is 2039. I said, oh, my
hallelujah.
God. I don't have to struggle every month and worry. He is, you told me last week that he cares about the sparrow. And he is making sure that the roof over my head is covered. And I thank God for that. I thank God. I was running through here saying hallelujah today because I was stressing. I was about to sell things out of my house because I know I got to pay my rent. But I am so at peace. So at peace. I just had to share that. And I'm asking for prayer. I'm just asking for prayer. And I thank you all. And I pray that we all fare fine with this storm.
Thank you so much, my sister. God is a faithful God.
Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
And he know what is happening because he's in control and he's omniscient. He's all-knowing.
Yeah.
So you just got to trust him. Hold on to your confession of your faith.
Amen, because the man said, oh, we updated your information today. And I'm saying to myself, but I didn't, and I said it out loud. I said, I didn't return the packet. He said, but you've been approved. I said, hallelujah. But God fills out, takes care, does all that we need him to do when we trust and lean on him, and I'm seeing it all the time. Whew. Thank you.
That's the kind of God we serve.
Yes, yes, yes.
And thank you for the praise report, sister. See, we have to have praise reports to see how God is working in the lives of others, because we could be going through the same thing, and we hear about what he did for you, and he's no respecter person, so we could just be waiting for our breakthrough. So thank you so much
for
your praise report. And if God's will, continue calling in.
I will. This office depot, I'm going to keep calling.
God bless you, my sister.
Same here.
I have a call of 601-831-35. Your mic is open. Caller, your number is 601-831-35. I don't want to call your last two numbers.
I just wanted to say God is real. Yes, I just wanted to say God is real. The word is real, and keep the faith.
Oh, thank you so much, caller, for calling in. And thank you for giving us those kind words. This is our Bible study, and it'd be good when all of us begin to talk to each other and hear what's going on. And hearing the confession of your faith, it's what strengthens us, because the word of God says iron sharpens iron. And I thank you so much.
Keep on.
And if it's God's will, call back.
Yes, keep on trusting. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much, caller. And if there's anyone else, I can open your mic. If not, we're going to go to Elyria Mackey, way in Boothville, Louisiana. And we're going to let her say whatever she have to say. She could come in her own way and pray. Sister Elyria, your mic is open.
Yes, ma'am. I listened at the caller. I'm so glad God's word said if we abide in him and his word abide in us, we can ask what we will. and it shall be given unto us. But when it was toward the end of the thing, my mind went back to a song. Only what you do for Christ will last. God is just worthy to be praised. God, we just come thank you, Lord. Thank you for enlightening our understanding, Lord God. God, I pray for every believer that's on the line, those that wanted to call in and couldn't call in. God, and just encourage the hearts of the believers. Let them know that your word is sure and it stands firm. And we can stand on all your promises because your word say every promise that you made, they are yes and they are amen. God, I pray a special prayer for the sister that called in. But if we just glorify you, your word said if we praise you, when praises go up, blessings come down. And we are a blessed people. We are a holy people. We are a peculiar people. God, and we're going to show forth the praises of you who call us out of darkness into your marvelous light. God, I pray a special prayer for Sister Diane tonight, Lord God, that you would keep on increasing her. And keep on giving the words to give to your people because these are last and trying days. And we know that you are God, and besides you, there is no other. And your words say you will not put on us no more than we can bear. And we stand on it. And we give you honor. We give you praise. And we give you glory. And we thank you, O God, for this is the day that you made. We thank you, Lord, for saving our souls, for delivering and setting us free. Because your words say, who the Son sets free is free indeed. We give you honor, praise, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God be glorified. What you do for Christ will last. What you do for Christ will last. Remember only what you do for Christ will last. Only what you do for Him is gonna be counted at the end. Remember only what you do for Christ will last. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much. We have in church now. Thank you for everyone that called in and everyone that participated and everyone that decided to call in on every Wednesday. God is pleased because it's a commitment. And God wants us to be committed to the things of God.
Yes.
And just for the record, next week we're going to be in a book of Haggai. And Haggai is only two chapters. So y'all know what I'm going to ask you to read. Haggai, the book of Haggai. And like I say, it's only two chapters. And Haggai is a very good book. And God, you know, this is coming to the end of the Old Testament, and God is allowing his prophets to close out the Old Testament. So for next week, read the book of Haggai. It's only two chapters, and if the Lord say the same, no, Haggai not next, it's, yeah, Haggai is next. Haggai is only two chapters. The first chapter only have 12 verses, and the second chapter have 23 verses, so we'll try to fit in everything from the book. Well, touch on certain things in the book, but until then, you be blessed. God loves you, and so do I. Be prayerful for the people in Houston and in not just Florida, but everything that is in the past of the hurricane. And if God has blessed you to help financially, just give someone a word of encouragement. Stay on your knees for them. But we have to play a part in the restoration of all people, because, see, that's what we wanted when it was our turn. So we have to learn to give what we want. We have to give to others. That's our lesson tonight, and I pray that each and every one of you have something that you could hold on to. And if it's God's will, we'll be back next week, same time, same station. So you go and you be blessed. And I had said that Peter was a New Testament prophet that said that the world would be burned with fervent heat too. But the last writing in Peter was a word of for restoration and encouragement and in hope. He said that he prayed that we continue to seek God, to love God, and do the things of God. It's his hope for us. He asked that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. Everybody should be growing in grace. That means you understand grace more. You participate with grace. It means that grace abound with you, and you can smile when something go wrong. Because you see, that's the grace of God, because now you understand what it's about. He said, grow in that grace and get the knowledge of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I tell each and every one of you, good night, and see you next time. God bless each and every one of you so good. Good night.